is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:34. It's actually not John Granato and Lance Zierlein. It's Lance Zierlein and Chris Solis. So Jeremy Botter, who joins us right now, who's a senior writer for Bleacher Report and CNN. You still are amongst friends, Jeremy. Jeremy, little interesting story. Jeremy Botter was, when we first started 1560 here, he was part of our house, basically a house band, the Favorites, right, Jeremy? It was the Favorites who played.
Yep.
Yeah, it was the Favorites,
I remember
right?
That. Yeah.
Remember they played a different. Jeremy, what? Well, you were a guitar, right?
No, I played guitar, but I was also the lead singer of sorts. Yeah,
just
yeah,
as
those
I remember.
The good old days, man.
Yeah. So now, since that time, you have traveled the world covering the fight game and the UFC. You got a break. I don't even know where your big break came, but all of a sudden, before you knew it, I'm seeing you at any UFC event I'm at, and then you had pretty good. You have had pretty good clearance there. I know you're well respected as a journalist covering MMA. You're going so good that Dana White actually called you out one time because he was mad because you had a scoop, and he tried to act like it wasn't true until the next day when it was true.
Yeah, that's my my life kind of consists of three parts. You know, I had my early days with the band, and then traveling the world and kind of being close with Dana White, and now the part of my life is where Dana White hates my guts and has blocked me on every form of social media imaginable.
So. What made him, just before we get to the UFC stuff, what made him so mad again? What was it that you're not really a muckraker, to be honest with you. That kind of surprises me.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't remember the thing that actually made him mad at me to begin with. It just kind of flipped one day years ago. But the thing that I believe you're referring to is when I reported the UFC was being sold to WMEIMG.
Well, that never happened.
You know. Yeah.
And then, oh, wait.
You know,
what story?
I got some threatening letters that looked like legal letters that actually weren't. And then they said it wasn't true. And then, of course, 2 weeks later, it came out.
Jeremy reported they were going to be sold. Dana White says, not true. Jeremy's a weirdo. Something. Didn't he call you a weirdo or a creep like that?
Yeah, weirdo scumbag.
Yeah, weirdo scumbag. And then 2 weeks later, everything that he reported was absolutely 100% true. And Dana White probably made about $1 billion. So, yep. And the Fertittas were out of it. So, anyway, bring him on right now because there's a really interesting fight going on for MMA fans. And I also want to talk about George St. Pierre in a second. But Holly Holm versus Cyborg. So Rousey versus Holly Holm was a big deal because it was Ronda Rousey. Most people didn't even know Holly Holm very well. People who follow the fight game knew she was a good striker and kickboxer. But Cyborg has carried a pretty heavy rep for quite some time. To me, this is the most interesting headliner that I've seen in a long time with two of the best strikers. I guess the question is, does Chris Cyborg, is she still the same fighter she was? I know she's cruised through the UFC, but she hasn't always looked as dominant, especially when she first came in. How do you see this fight rolling with Cyborg versus Holm? Because Holly's not going to be able to trade punches with her. She's going to have to throw that big left kick.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, with Cyborg, there's really the big question is, I mean, we know that she's dominant, right? Like, I mean, we've seen it for years and years and years. I mean, she ended Gina Carano's fighting career and sent her towards an unfortunate career in acting. But, like, that Gina Carano was probably the biggest, maybe most challenging opponent that Chris Cyborg has ever faced in terms of skill. We've never really seen her face another top-level opponent. And that's honestly, that's not her fault. You know, for the longest time, the UFC didn't have a 145-pound division. And then when they did, I mean, you know, women are not exactly lining up to fight Chris Cyborg. And, God, I can't blame them.
Oh, they have intentionally ducked her in several instances.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take that call. Like, if they were calling me the
no,
fighter. Not
so, in that call.
You know, and so, but Holly Holm is a different breed of fighter. You know, and as you were talking about with Ronda Rousey, you know, when Holly Holm came into the UFC, she was, I mean, those of us who have watched the fight game, you know, yourself, Lance, you knew that Holly Holm was good. She was a multiple-time world boxing champion, world kickboxing champion. You know, she started off there in Houston for Legacy Fighting Championships, And so yeah, I'd seen her plenty of times, and I knew she was good. And I knew that, I mean, if Ronda Rousey was going to strike with Holly Holm, there was absolutely no chance she was going to beat Holly Holm. And that's what happened. And the thing with Holly is that she's a counter-striker, and so is Cyborg. They both kind of wait for you to make a mistake and then pounce. Cyborg tends to pounce a little bit more ferociously than Holly. But, you know, I think this fight is super interesting because while it's easy on the surface to look at it and go, yeah, Cyborg's going to kill her, it's another woman who, you know, is going to be another win on her record. But I don't think you can do that with Holly Holm. She's tough. She's durable. And most of all, she's patient and smart. She's been training with Greg Jackson and Mike Winklejohn in Albuquerque for, I believe, like 12 years, 13 years. Mm-hmm. So she's been there a long time. And we know that is a very, very smart fight camp. And I think it's an interesting fight for a lot of reasons, but that her training and her patience and, you know, and her ring IQ might be the biggest ones.
This is the thing with, that's the thing with Holly Holm is what she brings to the table. Like, Cyborg will just punish you with a flurry of punches. She's always been that good. Is there another fighter, in a female fighter, who has one punch, and it's really in this instance, one kick knockout power? Like, she brings something to the table that you see in the men's fight game that you don't usually associate with women's, is that she can end it with one good shot. Like, she's got that ability. That's the one thing with Cyborg. You know that if she gets caught upstairs with one of those head kicks, it could be a wrap. And Holly Holm is one of the few fighters who can bring that to the table.
Yeah, I mean, the only other comparable female fighter, I believe, would be at 115 pounds. It would be Joanna Jędrzejczak, former strawweight champion.
But she also strings them together, though.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's the thing, is like they have that ability to punish you with accuracy. You know, with Cyborg, she's accurate and she's a great striker, but she is just super powerful. And you know, you can look at her and go, yeah, she'd be powerful, but it's not just the muscle. It's a lot of it has to do with the timing of her shots, the patience, and the accuracy.
I can't believe I'm looking at the numbers here. I was reading some of these. The statistics, for anyone who's really interested in analytics in basketball or football or baseball or whatever, UFC has been doing this for a little while now. Their data that they utilize, that they capture and they utilize, is really incredible. I mean, and they feature it on their website at UFC.com. You can see, I mean, absorbed punches per minute. They've got takedown, they've got strikes per minute, they've got power strikes per minute thrown and landed. I mean, their statistics are incredible that they're keeping now.
Yeah, they really are. And you know, anybody who's interested in, I'm kind of a data and stats junkie myself. If you're interested in that kind of thing, for the fight game, there's a guy named Reed Kuhn. He's Fightnomics on Twitter.
Right.
He takes that same database that's put together by a company called Fightmetric for the UFC and applies really, really advanced statistical analysis to it, you know, regression and whatnot. And he comes up with some even more interesting looks at that stuff, you know, if you're into that.
Hey, so George St. Pierre comes back after 4 years, beats Michael Bisping, wins the title, and then vacates. Now, Chael Sonnen made a comment that this just shows how unbelievable George St. Pierre at age 36 and with a 4-year layoff, how unbelievable he is. People just kind of forgot about him because he had been gone. But he could miss that much time. He's not as fast. He's not as good with his takedowns. He's all these, and he's still better than a guy who's been doing it nonstop. And I think he makes a pretty good point. Like, forever, Anderson Silva was the guy who captured that title of best pound for pound, when the reality is maybe it was always GSP all along, not to discredit Anderson Silva at all. Now he took off. Dana White, imagine this. I know you're going to have a hard time believing this. Dana's mad at him. And I probably don't blame him. He came in, got a fight, got the money, got out, wants to fight Conor McGregor, and Dana White said, nah, you're not ever fighting him. You've got Woodley waiting for you if you want to come back, because you're not getting a fight. You're not pulling this crap and getting a fight, Conor McGregor. What, do you think we'll see GSP anymore?
Yeah, I mean, so the fact that Dana White came out and said that you're never fighting Conor McGregor means he absolutely is fighting Conor McGregor. I mean,
That's why he blocked you, Jeremy. That's why he blocked you, because of smart alecky stuff like that.
look, at this point, I just don't care anymore. You know, I mean, like, it's the truth. I mean, like, a lot of us who have covered the sport have seen that for years. Like, Dana, you know, Dana's not exactly a man of his word, is a kind way to put it. But recently, I mean, it's kind of become a running joke among fans. Like, if Dana says something, well, okay, the opposite is going to happen. And, you know, honestly, Lance, I do have a feeling that fight is going to happen because WME has huge loan repayments to make on this purchase that they made of the UFC. And the only way that they're going to make, I mean, you know, they're not going to make that with fights like this weekend, as interesting as it is. They're going to make it with super fights.
I never even thought about that. They've got to make loan repayments, don't they? I never even thought about that factoring in.
Yeah. I mean, they're huge loan repayments. So, and the TV deal that, you know, their deal with Fox is up. Soon they are looking, they're negotiating with companies, including Turner Sports and a few others. But, you know, they were expecting to get $400 million a year on TV rights. And it's looking, you know, from talking to people that they're probably not even going to get half that. And so they're going to be hurting for money. They're going to need to put together the biggest fight they possibly can.
Interesting. Jeremy, how do you like the Cyborg home fight?
You know, man, it's really hard to pick against Chris Cyborg. If anybody can beat her, it's going to be Holly Holm. It's just, I have to go with history. I have to go with, you know, what we've seen in the past. And up until now, Chris Cyborg hasn't given me any reason to doubt that she'll go in and win.
You can follow Jeremy at Jeremy Botter, B-O-T-T-E-R, at Jeremy Botter. And you can, if you're a UFC fan and really a fan of a lot of things, you can follow Jeremy and do that. Congratulations on your marriage and your kids as well. Lots gone on since you first were playing at Slapfest. You were playing right there on Slapfest, too, when Malik and Aggie Doug were slapping each other right in the face, weren't you?
Yeah, one of the best fights I've ever seen in person.
it was a pretty good one. Hey, Jeremy, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.